Shape of Cthulhu presents A Call of Cthulhu Campaign, Curse of Cthulhu by Keith Herber.
Yep.
Okay, so this is Curse of Cthulhu by Keith Herber, published by Chaosium in 1990. So this is, Curse of Cthulhu is actually a reprint of the Fungi from Yoggoth campaign, with a few optional scenes and a couple extra chapters added in. This is a, as of course, published in 1990, this is a very old school scenario, so it kind of assumes that, you know, the investigators are actually going to be interested in, you know, investigating. library research, talk to the police, you know, visit the coroner, you know, dig into newspaper archives, go around, talk to people, right? All that sort of classic Call of Cthulhu stuff.
That's gonna go great.
Yeah, don't talk to cops, man.
Talking to cops.
Talking to cops, I'll cut you.
You know, or talking to the, the underworld, if you will, if that's more your bent, either way. So it is April. I think I put June. Let's pull it back a little bit. April of 1988. Which, for those of you who don't remember, 1988, this is the last year of Ronald Reagan's presidency. The election campaign is in full swing in the U.S. A Kuwaiti airliner has recently been hijacked on April 5th. Kuwaiti Airways Flight 422 was hijacked, and that's in the news. Another nuclear treaty was recently signed between the Soviets and the U.S. The Soviets are still in Afghanistan, but they're starting to lean towards pulling out. And let's see, prices of things. You can buy a gallon of gas for 91 cents, a gallon of milk for $1.89, and a shiny new Amiga for $849.
Oh, yeah. I love mine.
Oh, yeah.
Those things are so fast. Or, such a cool computer.
Or if you want to be the squares, you can buy an IBM PC, 30 megabyte hard drive, 512K RAM for just under $1,300. So,
but we don't have a computer hacker in the group, do we?
I took a bunch of electronics, so I could, but I didn't take programming.
Yeah, I'm sure it won't come up.
Yeah.
I'm good for breaking into places
with a baseball bat.
Breaking into computers.
Actually, I've got locksmith at 50%.
Well, let's go around and introduce the characters. Jonathan, you're on top of the list.
Hi, I'm Kimberly McEwen. I spend most of my time practicing with my band as a drummer. The rest of the time, skating around. Every now and again, I work some shifts at a local diner to earn some money. But yeah, I'm pretty and smart, but didn't really fancy college. So I'm just trying to find my way in life.
I'm Rory MacArthur, a Scottish punk who's basically drives and works on cars for a living when he's not hanging out with the punk band. And, he's slightly unhinged, you could say. He's definitely slightly unhinged.
15 sanity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Steve. I'll be playing Lucy Peterson. Lucy thought she was a normal girl until one day, I don't know, 6 years ago or so, she realized that her family was in some type of a cult, and there was a horrible incident, and she's had some trouble adjusting to society ever since, become a little bit of a rebel, and in fact, doesn't like to fit in with the mainstream, worried about authority, and you know, does a few illegal things on the side to get by. She's a young girl of 22 who's a frequenter at a local bar that we all know.
Yeah, I'm Sean. I'm playing Nick Dyer. He is a bartender at the bar. Anybody who's known him for a little bit know he was a former cop. Until he was out on a duty one night and saw something that really shook him up. He quit the force. He carries himself a little bit uncomfortably, so he doesn't have that sort of general aura of authority you might associate with a law enforcement official, which is why he fits in with this ragtag group.
I'm Edwin. I'm playing Lionel Cockrell. He's a quiet guy and does tech work at the bar and for the band and elsewhere as he can. And a little bit brainy, and generally likes to, especially recently, keep his head down. It seems like something's been bothering him lately.
Max?
So I'm Brando. I'm playing Elliot Wheeler. He is a singer and guitar player for the band. And he is, during the day, he provides cars for his boss from the streets. And the one time he actually stole a car from the wrong person, and he needed to he transformed into something Elliot couldn't actually believe, so he shot the thing and ran away. There was a few years back, but the experience kind of, traumatized him.
And I'm Max, and I'm playing Oren Weston, PC of no musical talent. He's basically just almost a shut-in. He doesn't really socialize too much. He stays at home or work or the bar. And he's really into books. He works at the library and on and off selling used books to different sources, but super into the occult, as he did a correspondence course that they only offered for 1 year with Miskatonic University Library. After that, he had some really awesome, interesting info. He's actually got a 20% Necronomicon lore skill as well. Very as his cool occult.
Nice.
And yeah, he's read some things that he probably shouldn't, and he's a little crazier than he probably should be.
Is that correspondence course where they send you a chapter of the Necronomicon every month and...
until you're insane?
Right, exactly.
Just $129.99.
I think I was the only participant that year they offered it.
Very cool. Okay, so the group, as I understand it, you guys, some of you are in a band, and I presume it's just a bar band. You just jam at the local bar. You're not touring or internationally famous or anything like that.
It's just a matter of time.
Of course, of course.
Right.
I am curious.
Can we name the bar?
Sure.
Anyone? Ideas?
The Red Fez.
The Red Fez.
Nice. I like it.
Perfect.
Sponsorship opportunities are available now.
So for those of you who are actually members of the band, just as a point of curiosity, did any of you guys actually put any skill points into music? Or
I have 40 points in art, craft, drums.
Okay, so you got some decent drum lines anyway. That's a good start.
I would point out that it's a punk band, and such things are highly overrated.
I actually have to tone down my ability when I play in the band.
All right. And what about Elliot? How's the singer?
I have 50.
Nice.
Yeah.
Voice of an angel.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Okay, and so Mr. Dyer is the bartender where the band jams out. Does the band have a name, by the way?
Say yes and move on.
Daughters of Osiris.
Ooh, nice.
I like it.
Jonathan with the names.
I'll call you the next time I make a character up and get you a name. Awesome.
I think Jonathan's already thought about all this, so he's got it all written down. He's just doling out the information.
Wait a minute.
I pretty much know what the next 50 sessions are going to be like. So,
I mean, there is a real bar called the Red Fez in Providence. Right. Just for people who don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that's not whole cloth right there.
I thought because you guys were all such punk leaning people, it would be like Sacrifice Reagan or something like that.
Ooh. Yeah, I think the band name is certainly one of these things that can probably change from day to day.
Yeah, it changes every week or something. Yeah.
That's
right, because we don't want people to get bored.
Yeah.
Changes depending on attendance.
Well, and I imagine the
new band. Oh, it's the same guys again.
Well, no. I mean, the bass player and the backup guitar changes, and whatever.
Don't paint us in a corner, man. Don't try to put us in a corner.
Right, just the drum and lead that are constant.
It's also how many people are still standing after Rory does his head banging dance, on the dance floor, literally banging his head against other people.
Get the mosh pit going, of course.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Weston. So obviously you're not in the band, but you.
Nope.
Hang out at the bar and.
Yeah, it's the closest bar to my house, which tends to be perfect because I don't like people, and this bar usually has less than a normal amount of people. So I usually just sit in the back and do some research or read while drinking whiskey sours and smoking cigarettes.
Fair enough. And so, of course, all of you. I mean, those of you in the band and the bartender and those of you hanging out or working at the bar, all know each other fairly well. You've talked about kind of your background and the various experiences you've had. And, as I understand it, have kind of, talked about going out and, looking into some of this stuff, but have probably just never quite gotten around to it. Got more important things to do, like the music. So,
Money.
Mr. Weston, on a particular Friday, not long before you are, you're at home thinking it's getting on evening time, and you're thinking, well, I'll probably, head over to the bar for my usual bits of conversation and too loud music.
Yep, grab my cigarettes and lighter and earplugs on the way out.
Of course. And just as you're about to head out, your phone rings.
Hello, Weston Rare Books. How can I help you?
Hi, is this Orin Weston?
Who's speaking, please?
Oh, hi, Orin. I don't know if you remember me. What the hell is her first name? Does she even have a first name? She's got to have a first name.
I remember me.
No.
Her first name is Plot, second point number one.
No, her first name is apparently Mrs. That's weird.
Mrs. Hook?
This is
Mrs. E. Hook.
This is Susan Timmons. I'm Brian Timmons' mother. And so
yes.
When you were younger, kind of through school, Brian Timmons was a friend, fairly good friend of yours. You two palled around, did stuff, but kind of over the, as you, after you graduated and kind of things moved on, you kind of kept in touch for a few years, but he's, as adults are wont to do, over the course of the past few years, you've kind of lost touch with each other and haven't spoken for a few years.
Oh, yes. Miss Weston, how is he? Is he doing well?
Oh, no, Brian's not doing well. That's why I'm calling, actually. I'm hoping that you can do me a favor and
what's wrong?
I'm afraid that Brian has had a bit of a mental breakdown, and I had to have him committed to an asylum.
Oh no!
Yes, he's.
That's terrible.
Yeah, he hasn't been doing well. So I'm just trying to get a hold of some of his old friends. I'm hoping that maybe if you could go talk to him and see him, maybe seeing some old friends would cheer him up and make him feel better.
Sure. Where? What sanitarium is he at?
Oh, he is at. He is at the Holmes Sanitarium. And you would know that's not far outside of Providence, just north of the city.
Okay. That's actually not too far from here. I think. Yeah. I could go by and see him tomorrow and have a chat. Maybe sneak him in some of those candy bars that he liked.
Oh, that would be so wonderful. Thank you so much, Oren. I'll be sure to call them first thing in the morning to tell them that you're coming.
And, okay. I might bring a couple friends.
Oh, that'd be great. And anything you can do to just see if you can get Brian to snap out of it. He's just been so dark lately, and then this breakdown. And
yeah, anything to help an old friend. Thank you for calling, Ms. Timmons. And then I'll get her number. I'll give you a call after I stop by and let you know how he's doing.
Okay, you're welcome to come by too. We still live here in Providence.
Oh, okay. Then maybe would you care to have lunch tomorrow afternoon, a late lunch after we go and see him?
Oh, that would be lovely. I'll be sure to have the staff put something together.
Blake's downtown. Does that sound all right?
Oh no! You should come by. You should come by. She'll give you an address which you recognize as being located in one of the very old, very rich neighborhoods of Providence.
Perfect. Thank you again for calling. I guess I'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, I thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you. And she hangs up.
Strange. Very strange. Okay, I'll just kind of mull that over for a little bit on my way to the bar.
Okay. Reach the bar, I presume everyone is there.
See what kind of mood they're in tonight.
The band is detuning their instruments appropriately.
Correct. Warming up.
Now, what I did with the guitar is I switched the fifth string to the third position and the third position to the first position. So no one can play this guitar other than our lead guitarist.
After moving things around and setting up, Rory be at the bar having a drink or two or three or four.
Yeah, so if they're all just kind of hanging around, I'll get myself settled. And hey guys, you have a minute? Okay.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, Weston?
Thorin, right?
Yeah. So you know how we kind of always talked, you guys. I you've been interested in those occult symbols and stuff that I research.
Oh yeah, yeah. Thanks for the logo. That's great.
Yeah, just like I said, just don't ever turn it the other way around. It's just always leave it straight up the way I gave it to you guys. Just don't mess with that symbol. I know you guys are interested in that kind of weird stuff. I got a strange call from one of my old schoolmates' mom, and I guess he had some sort of mental break recently. I'm going to go see him in the sanitarium tomorrow. You guys ever been to a sanitarium? It's pretty, I want to say metal, but I know you guys aren't metal, so...
Why would you ask that?
Well, so that's exactly what Mr. Weston would say, right?
Hey, 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 hey! You can't really define our style. It's.
Well, regardless, I have to go and see this guy. You know, see how he's doing. But it might be nice if you guys want to come do
I've
a little.
Been to one.
A little impromptu a cappella session for him that might help cheer him up. Do some community service. And if you've never been to a sanitarium before, I mean, there's some shit to see.
That sounds pretty cool.
That one is close by the... that's a rich neighborhood, right?
Neighborhood. Yeah, it's in the north end of Providence. I mean, closer to the nicer neighborhood.
I'll go.
Yeah, always like a rich neighborhood.
What happened to your friend then?
Oh, I'm not really sure. His mom said that he had some sort of mental break and he's just been out of sorts lately. Been really dark.
Do you play a mental instrument?
No. Well, I think he played clarinet, if I remember correctly.
In high school.
In high school. Yeah.
Boring.
I don't know. You get one of those on a mic with some effects, you can do something there.
But yeah, no, that would be great if some of you guys you guys wanted to come along. Let's have a nice little outing. Actually, going to stop by and see his mom afterwards and have some lunch. She's a pretty rich lady, so probably going to be a good lunch.
Nice.
In for that?
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't take Rory.
Well, but no one can understand what he says anyway, so.
I suppose.
The
Rory
Scottish
just
accent.
Watches you guys.
Cool. So then
it's tomorrow?
It's settled. And then I'm just going to walk back over to my table and start drinking my whiskey sours and put my earplugs in.
Okay. So the evening proceeds as a usual Friday evening is wont to at the Red Fez.
Who's got the highest tip skill?
Obviously the bartender.
What's the plan for the outing?
I think probably just meet at the bar and yeah, cars. I'm sorry. Who are all your characters?
Bus, I think.
Would we not be meeting?
Can we walk
and then going to the bus station or the train station?
I'm early 20s.
Providence? I don't know.
Yeah, but with this group, can anyone afford a car? I think is.
I have my skateboard. Sure. I'm fine.
We've got a car seat. We have a car.
I've got the ability to get us a car.
I do have a car. I have credit rating 20. Family has a little bit of money.
I've actually got a credit rating of 40.
Mine is a Camaro.
I've got a van. That's for all the gear.
Okay. I don't think a Camaro is going to fit us all. Yeah, the van might.
The Camaro won't even fit.
How far away is this place?
The Camaro won't even fit the drums, Randall.
But yeah, but it looks good.
I never said I used it for the band. Especially not you.
All right, so it sounds like we have sufficiently...
Yep.
We have enough cars, so I guess we'll just meet up at the bar and carpool up there.
I call shotgun, not Rory's car. Okay,
so. I'll sit in the cargo space of the van. I'm used to it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, yeah. Let's say I have one of those like Ford Econoline no window vans.
Yeah, that's not cool.
That's how I take it, especially the way I look. yeah, well, no, that works out perfectly because if I need to go on a big book run, I have enough space to store it. Stuff
yeah,
in my car.
I've got a van for carrying all the guitars, the band stuff. So
perfect. Okay, so you can all load into your various vehicles here, meet up at the bar, drive north to the Holmes Sanitarium. It's not far. It's you have to get through Providence and then about another 20 minutes north, so not too big a deal. As you arrive, it is a nice spring morning. The sun is shining. The birds are chirping. You rock up to the sanitarium. It's kind of a big old manor-looking building. A big stone fence around it. There's a gate in which you give your names, and they check you against a list, and you drive in. You can see this is kind of a high-security place. This is not a casual little hospital for a casual break. This is a serious security facility.
Rory will leave his gun and his baseball bat in the van.
Probably the best idea. Park in the parking area. Kind of enter the lobby.
I'm sorry, slight retcon, Jim. I will have gone by some store on the way and picked up a few Zagnuts.
Okay. Fair enough. You enter the lobby and say you're asked to see Mr. Timmons, and the attendant checks you against a list again. Just a moment. And another attendant, kind of a big burly fellow, all dressed in white, key ring jangling at his waist, comes out and says, all right, come this way. And he unlocks a big heavy door and invites you to come in.
All right.
Wow. What is this kid like?
This place is awesome.
I mean, he was a pretty normal kid. Oh, I don't know. Jim, you'll have to tell me. I don't know how he was like.
Yes. He was a pretty normal kid.
Yes, pretty normal kid. I mean, we went to school together for a good amount of time, and I didn't notice anything weird. He was always just, you know, just a guy.
Hey, it's better than some other places I've been to.
I bet.
So the attendant leads you down a hallway. It's just kind of a long, plain, boring-looking white hallway. Lots of security doors on either side until he comes to one door in particular. And all these doors are kind of, you know, the heavy steel doors with a small glass inset at about eye level. And it's the reinforced glass with the steel wire running through it. And he unlocks the door, says, "Wait here a moment." And he walks in. And then he comes out and says, "Right, you can go in and see him. Just let me know when you're ready to go."
Thank you. I'm assuming he has a name tag, and I would call him by name.
Just says Jones.
Jones. Thank you, Jones.
I'll be right out here. So you all file into the room. It's not a big room. You're all kind of a little close. The attendant closes the door behind you. And you can see that the room is all in kind of a beige off-white. There are no windows. The walls are padded. There's no furnishings in the room except for a single cot with a thin mattress on it, covered in a sheet. And seated on the cot, with his back to the wall, his legs kind of pulled up, and his arms are with his legs kind of pulled up in front of him, bound up in a heavy kind of burlap looking straitjacket, is a young man who looks at you curiously.
Brian, it's Oren.
Oren. Oh my God, Oren, what are you doing? I haven't seen you for years.
Yeah, well, your mom called. She said you were here. I was just trying to see if maybe I could stop by and cheer you up and lift your spirits. I mean, how's it going? Hey, I brought you some Zagnuts. I'll pull them out of my pocket. Food here probably sucks, so figured you might want something on the side.
Oh my God, you have no idea, Oren. I don't know where I can hide him. He kind of struggles in his straitjacket for a minute. I mean,
I'll open one and I'll give him a big bite.
Oh, he takes a bite. He's very grateful. Who are your friends?
These are just some friends that I know.
Hey, I'm Lionel.
They're a band. I figured, you know, I wasn't sure how with it you were going to be, so I didn't know if maybe they could do a little a cappella music for you. That was going to be if you were catatonic, but you seem to be doing just okay.
Look.
Kimberly waves and says, "Hi, Brian. I'm Kimberly. Nice to meet you."
"Hi, Kimberly. Thank you for coming to see me. I'm a little surprised that Mother would send anyone."
"I'm sorry.
She's the one who had me locked up here."
What happened?
"Nothing happened. That's what's so frustrating about all this." He kind of struggles at the jacket for a moment. I was living out at the old farm for a while, and all I did was start asking some questions about some of Mother's ancestors, her great grandfather, and I was, you know, I just wanted to learn a little bit about where we came from, and then before I know it, she just had me locked up in here. I'm not crazy. Well, this is
did
my
you
God,
end up
or in this place
out anything
is
that would like, give you some sort of reasoning behind why she would throw you in here?
No, I don't know. I was just looking into... There was one of her ancestors was a fascinating man. He's the one who made all the family money. Douglas Timmons. He built the farm, and I mean, he seemed like just a really cool guy, and I just wanted to learn more about him, and then just bam, mother sent me here.
Does that warrant an occult check for me, Jim? The name?
Yeah, you can if you want to.
That'll be a hard success.
And that'll be a no.
Okay. Cool. Well, that's weird. Why?
Rich people.
I mean, obviously, there's got to be something to it if she threw you in here for just looking into your genealogy. I mean, that doesn't make sense at all. I know you. I know your mom. She never seemed crazy like that. I mean, seems a little out of character, right?
I suppose. I don't know. Maybe she's just...
I mean, she was always, you know, crazy like a mom, but not throw you in an asylum crazy. It must be... Man, you must have really pissed her off looking into this guy when she didn't want you to.
Yeah, but I don't know what I did. I mean, oh my God, this place is so horrible. You can't imagine... I need to get out of here, Oren. Can you guys help me get out? Maybe.
I mean, I could start working on that.
Lucy has a lot of sympathy for Oren's predicament. She sees a bit of herself in him. She wants to kind of gently, kind of touch him and say, "Oren,
Ryan, honey, not Oren." Oren is standing next to you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, she got a lot of sympathy for Oren, too. Sorry. It's first session. Get the names down. Sorry. Brian. So, Brian, she puts her arm on Brian's shoulder and says, "Brian, honey, I understand the trouble with your mom, but why do they have you in this jacket? Did you do something?"
"No, I haven't done anything. This is all Mother's doing. Can you get the jacket off with it? Maybe
Most
we
definitely.
Could."
Rory starts to head over and starts to help him.
We could make a break for it, and or maybe you guys could distract the attendants.
It's just outrageous. They can't keep you locked up in here. I mean, what country do we live in? God damn it! This isn't Soviet Russia.
Exactly. I'm taking off the straitjacket.
What was that, Mr. Cockrell?
Through the door, the window in the door.
Yeah.
And see if there's somebody, you know, like Jones watching us.
He is there, but his back is to the door. He's
to the window.
Watching.
Yes. Okay.
Are there bars on the windows?
Screen, I think.
Yeah, it's there's no like window to the outside. It's just the small, you know, 4-inch square window in the door.
Gotcha.
I will stand in front of that with my head just right there.
Once I get him free, I'll go, "Brian, you be quiet. I'm going to knock the guard unconscious."
Oh, no.
Wait. No.
Okay, so...
let me handle this.
Real life, I am doing the same thing that my character is doing, and rubbing their forehead and shaking their head from left to right. And... why did I bring these people? Oh, jeez.
Hang on a second. As Mr. MacArthur and I think Miss Peterson were going to take the straitjacket off. Is that?
Okay. Taking the straitjacket off. Yeah.
Oren, you can make a psychology roll if you want.
0-1.
Ooh. Everybody's insane.
Well, that may as well be.
Should call for the guard and ask for 5 more straitjackets.
Exactly. Yeah.
That may as well be. But this, you are 100% certain that this whole story about his mother locking him up in here for no reason
lie.
He is lying through his teeth.
Say, wait, guys, wait. Brian.
No, no, don't. Brian. Wait, Brian. What do you mean, wait, Oren? Come on, get this jacket off of me.
I know you. I know when you're lying. Tell me the truth, and maybe we can help you.
Yeah, we're going to help him. We're going to get him out of here.
No.
You guys
get
don't
this
know Brian, okay?
Jacket off me now.
Brian?
Mr. MacArthur, would you make a dodge roll, please?
Okay, dodge. 68 is a fail.
Brian lunges at you and bites you on the arm. You may have 1 point of damage.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
That is the wrong guy to bite.
And then he
just looks at him,
Scottish man,
and grabs him and headbutts him.
Oh.
He falls back, bleeding from the nose.
Okay, at this point, I go to the door and I pound on the door. I will
grab Rory. What are you doing, man?
Yeah, just as you turn for the door opens and Jones comes. What's going on, Timmons?
He attacked our friend Rory. I think it might be time for us to go.
And Jones will shuffle you, kind of push you all out of the room, as Timmons is kind of frothing at the mouth and yelling, "Get me out of this jacket, Oren! Come back here! Get me out of this jacket! Get me out of here!" And he's just yelling and spitting, and he tries to throw himself off the cot at the attendant, and the attendant tackles him to the ground, and two more attendants start to rush down the hall. Sorry, Edwin. Yeah.
I was just wondering, does it seem possible that some keys might be lifted in this, in all the chaos here?
Nice.
You can make a dex roll.
I do a sleight of hand.
You can do a sleight of hand. That'll work.
Nope, not successful.
Nope.
Okay.
They're moving around. They're moving around too much.
Yep.
To be fair, the crazy ones do always say the same thing.
So the more attendants rush into the room and they're trying to subdue Timmons, who's fighting against him, and one of the attendants, you guys need to get out of here, and he kind of points back down the hallway.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Kind of shuffles you out.
We're out.
I wonder if any of that was true.
No, it wasn't. Well,
I mean, the great grandfather, the farm.
That seemed like he was telling the truth.
Douglas Timmons,
Jim. But the rest of it about his mom throwing him in here for no reason. I mean, he was just straight up lying to us. He just wants to get out.
Oh, so you just want to trust his mom, is what you're saying?
I think we need to go have lunch with her, like I had planned to, give her an update, and maybe see what she tells us.
What kind of parent would do this to their kid?
A parent that loves their child if they've gone crazy.
Shut up, Oren.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. You don't like logic.
You saw the way he bit Rory. I mean, that's not sane.
He's having a tough time right now.
Yeah, and he's in a place that can help him with that.
Did you see those people tackling him? How rough they were with him?
To stop him from hurting himself or others? Yeah. Oh, darn. What a terrible job to have.
Just get in the van.
Oh, come
on, guys. It's your van. Let me in the van.
Nick,
he attacked Rory.
You've been pretty quiet. What's your take on all this?
I just wish I'd seen this sort of thing before. He's got some problems. He's blaming on other people. He's trying to get the sympathy of the gullible, I guess. And I think you need to talk to the mom and maybe you look around, see if there's any, maybe any of your buddies know anything what happened, or newspapers, talk to the cops, I don't know.
Yeah.
But the mom is probably the first source of information.
Well, yeah, why don't we head up there? If I'm going to go have lunch with her. If any of you guys want to join, you're more than welcome to.
You know where this old farm is? Family farm?
I think...
Does it exist?
One in the same with her place, Jim, or is that a separate location?
That is a separate location.
But would I have known of the farm from being friends with him in younger years?
You or would
this is
have.
The first time I'm hearing of it.
No. You would have. Yeah, you certainly would have heard of the old family farm that they, you know, perhaps when Brian was young, was a kid, that they would go out and, you know, spend summers out at, that sort of thing.
Okay. Yeah, it's old family farm
in Woonsocket, Rhode Island.
Woonsocket.
That is an awesome name. I can only assume it's real.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of know the area it's in. I don't know exactly where it is, but I he did talk about the farm growing up.
So is he rich or not? Was that a lie to?
No, I think his family's pretty well off.
Okay. She was going to have her servants make lunch. So
yeah, if we want to go over and have lunch, just no one mentioned anything about the research he was doing. Let's see what information the mom gives us freely and see. Just want to make sure she's on the up and up as well. But I'm pretty sure she's the sane one in this instance.
I'd like to talk to her.
Oh, we'll all talk to her together.
Fine.
Okay, Lucy?
Oh, but by the way, Ari.
Really?
No, Ari, don't do that again. I do capella for free, okay? Don't try to pull that on me.
No, that's okay. Wouldn't have been that good anyway.
Now I really want to go on the internet and find a punk capella song.
Well, we are going to need some theme music for these sessions.
That's true. All of that would be great.
Should make our own.
So you roll out from the sanitarium.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you guys headed?
I think we're headed to Brian's mom's house.
Fair enough. Back into Rhode Island. Into, as we said, a particularly old and rich neighborhood. There are many, you know, tree-lined streets and very large, impressive mansions. You find the right street and you find the right number, and this is, if anything, in this neighborhood of large, impressive mansions, this is one of the largest and most impressive.
Wow, sweet digs.
So we're here. Well,
Elliot is taking notes of where all the fancy cars are as we drive by.
Yeah, they're all circular driveways and, you know, long driveways.
People have circular
driveways. Rory's eyeing off a few of the cars, thinking about coming back here later this evening.
Of course. And you pull into through the gate, just standing open. Long driveway, park, get out. Go up to the door. Press the buzzer, and the door opens, and there is kind of an older gentleman, very formally dressed. Good afternoon, Mr. Weston and friends, I presume?
Yes, here for Mrs. Timmons.
Yes, Mrs. Timmons is expecting you. He's kind of looking at the, kind of eyeing the group.
Gosh.
He looks a little...
I'll smile winningly at him.
Uncertain.
Lucy is fully prepared to be belligerent.
I'll bring
my... I can try a charm roll or an app roll.
This way, please.
Thank you, Jeeves.
Jarvis. My name is Jarvis. And he leads you into the house, which is very well appointed, spotlessly clean, very ornate.
By the way, if there's something I can slip into my pocket while we're walking through, I do have a sleight of hand of 60.
Okay, I'm going to be keeping a close eye on all of these replicates.
Mentally see that calculation. Keeping a close eye on. Wait, Rory, and there's other.
All
these people.
Make a sleight of hand roll, Mr. MacArthur.
Okay. I roll a 03.
And make a spot hidden roll, Mr. Weston.
On a 03. Yeah,
make it extreme.
Let's see. An 84 is not going to cut it.
Yep. Mr. MacArthur, you're able to grab a small kind of onyx bird decoration that's sitting on a table.
And slip it into my pocket and just continue to follow the group.
Don't know what it is, but it looks. But it's in some rich person's house, and it looks nice. It must be worth something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So Jarvis leads you to a living room, very nicely appointed. A couple overstuffed sofas, some nice comfy chairs. Please have a seat. I will inform Mrs. Timmons that you are here, and tea will be served momentarily.
Thank you, Jarvis.
And he leaves the room.
Wander around the room looking at stuff, picking up things and putting them down, just sort of...
Yeah, is there like a bookshelf around the room?
There is no bookshelf, no.
Okay.
So a few minutes later, a woman walks in. She's in her mid-50s, fairly attractive.
Oh, Miss Timmons.
Oren, is that you?
So long.
And she walks up and shakes your hand.
Give her a handshake, yeah.
Oh, it's so wonderful to see you. Thank you so much for coming. Are these your friends?
They are.
Yes, sir. I will give her a hug.
And I kind of say that hesitantly.
she returns the hug hesitantly.
call me Elliot.
Oh, thank you for coming, Elliot. Please have everyone have a seat. Jarvis will be back with tea and some sandwiches shortly.
They really do this, huh? Great.
Yeah, never knew they acted like this. Look at this place.
So Oren, you had a chance to see Brian. How is he? Has his mood improved any?
He seemed okay when we got there, but didn't go so well.
He wasn't so happy when we left.
Yeah. So why don't you tell me what happened? I mean, from the start. I mean, how come he's in there? What were the events that transpired? I mean, he seemed pretty angry at you for throwing him in there, is what he was saying.
Oh, I know he is, but I think it's for the best.
He told us it was for no apparent reason, but, I mean, there's... So what really happened?
Well, I'm not sure really how this all got started, but maybe a year and a half ago... Brian, I don't know, he became very interested in our family history. You know, I guess he just reached to that age where he wanted to know, you know, where he came from and who his ancestors were and what the family tree looks like, that sort of thing. So he really threw himself into it. He was searching the libraries and the public records here in Providence and in the surrounding counties, and he was really putting together a lot of good information. And then about a year ago, he decided to move into the old farm in Woonsocket. And neither his father or I really wanted him to. No one's been there for years, and it was completely run down. But he decided that's what he wanted to do. So we couldn't stop him, but as soon as he did that, we really just stopped seeing him. He wouldn't show up for family dinner, and when we went to call on him at the farm, he wouldn't answer the door. There was one time though he did answer the door, and there was another gentleman there who he was friends with, a Mr. Baines. He didn't really get a good look at him. He was just all dressed in dark and clothes. He, quite frankly, he kind of gave me the creeps. And
older man or same age? Or
I really didn't. Like I said, I really didn't get a good look at him. And then just a couple months ago, Father and Jarvis went to Woonsocket to visit Brian, and you know, we had had enough. Father was gonna bring him home, but then they came back without him, and Father wouldn't really say why they left Brian there. And then just a month ago, Father died. He fell from the balcony just outside the back there.
Oh, jeez. I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you. But then we had the funeral, but and Brian didn't even show up. He wouldn't even show up for his own father's funeral. So I really didn't know what to do. I was at my wit's end. I wanted my son back. So I asked the police to look in at him. The Woonsocket police went out, and as soon as they showed up, he had some kind of violent outburst. He attacked the police, and the police restrained him and put him in the sanitarium.
Well, it was a harrowing last few months for you then. I'm so sorry it's been so difficult for you. If you want, I mean, I'd be happy to look further into this for you.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Anything that you can do, that you and your friends can do, would be
yes, because
most appreciated. I just want my son back.
I'll step in and just kind of interrupt Orin. Orin hasn't mentioned it, but we kind of look into, you know, we're kind of a private detective ourselves. So for the right price, we can get you all the answers you need.
Nick's eyebrow arches at this.
Yeah.
And is making no effort to try to hide it from the potential client.
Are you trying to persuade her, or are you trying to fast track her?
Nope, just letting her know that, you know, may not be. Yeah.
Oh, I will say that, and I will roll a persuade roll if you need me.
Go right ahead.
And that is a pass. Normal success.
She kind of looks at Mr. Dyer and looks at Mr. Weston. What? If you really feel you need to be paid, I suppose I can.
Let's go. Do you have an extra set of keys for the farm?
No, I'm afraid I don't. I know Brian was doing, he did some remodeling, and I have no idea about keys or anything like that, but there shouldn't be anyone there.
Okay.
Oh, don't worry, we can get in.
And then we'll get the exact address from her. So, you know what, maybe we'll have a look at the farm, and if it warrants further investigation, we can come back and maybe talk about expenses, of course, with a friends and family discount rate.
Oh, thank you, Orin. You always were such a nice boy.
Well, just don't fret, Miss Timmons. We'll look into it, and hopefully we can put your stress at ease. And I look over at Randall's character. And I give him a quick, angry glare, as angry as I can give.
Just giving a wink.
So during all this, Jarvis has been serving tea and sandwiches. So lunch, lunch is being had and some other light conversation.
Are there any family photos in this room?
There is. There are a few photos of. There are a few older photos. Which you would presume are of the Timmons family. They look happy. They look well adjusted. They look rich.
How far? I'll ask her. Yeah. So whoever the oldest person or the oldest photo or whatever. How far back these pictures go?
Oh, those are all from when Brian was young. That's father and I and Brian.
No grandparents, huh?
No, I'm sure we have some photos of my parents and father's parents, but I don't have any out at the moment.
Mm. Cool.
Foolishly, of course, Lucy is, well, maybe not, of course, but she's, you know, suspicious of the mom, authority figure, locking her son up, all that stuff. So I just made a normal psychology roll. Can I tell if she is holding anything back by any chance? Like something that she's not giving to us?
Yes, you may, and yes, she is.
Mm. Okay. Lucy has some bubble gum that she's been loudly chewing, and she blows a big bubble that pops and says, "What did you do? What aren't you telling us, Mom? What did you do to your boy to drive him to the farm?"
You'll have to excuse my friend here. She's very touchy about mental health and care of said mental health nowadays.
Oh, that's quite all right, Orin. I understand children these days. The anti-authority. I was young once. It was the 60s. I remember how we did things.
Listen, if you want us to help your boy, you got to come on the up and up.
I'm telling you everything. I certainly didn't want him to move out to the farm. It's fine that he did, but I wish he would have given us a chance to fix it up, make it a little nicer first. It's been sitting empty since Brian was a child, and no one's been living there for 20 years or so.
So why is it empty?
Well, we just stopped going. We didn't want to sell it, and we just stopped going. Life changes. Do different things during the summer, and we just didn't feel the need to keep it up, but we didn't really want to sell it.
Can I tell if this is the part she's maybe holding back on, or should I roll again, or
you could roll again. Devices?
Roll again. She doesn't have a great psychology, but okay, I'll spend the luck. I'll make another another normal success.
All true.
All true. Rats.
Sorry.
Where'd the money come from?
Oh, originally mostly from farming. The Timmins are a very old family here in Rhode Island, and some of the early farms, they were very successful. She kind of chuckles.
So not her family, her husband's family.
Right. She kind of chuckles. Yeah, I really don't know much about it. With all the research he was doing, Brian could probably tell you more about it. And she kind of sobs for a moment. And since then, just careful investing and the occasional lucky break in business. Father was a very successful businessman himself.
Your father?
No, Brian's father.
Oh.
She refers to Brian's father as father, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How young is she again?
She's in her mid-50s.
She's definitely more Alan's age than your age. I mean, Nick's age, mm-hmm. sorry. Nick's
age. Yeah. But she's raged, though.
Well, yeah. More your age.
Okay. App of 60, so she's fairly attractive too, if that helps.
Rory is at this point getting bored.
Damn. And that's probably obvious to everyone in the room.
Well, it was a wonderful lunch. Thank you for having us, Miss Timmons.
We need to take our dog out for a walk.
Oh, well, thank you, Orin. I appreciate you looking in on Brian, and I definitely look forward to whatever you can find. If we can help Brian, that's what I'm most interested in.
We'll do everything in our power to help.
I would like to do a psychology on that statement. Helping Brian is the thing she's most interested in.
Yep. Go.
Regular success.
It would seem to be the case.
Okay.
Well, we'll let you know what we find out after we head to the farm. And we'll go from there.
Thank you.
Hospitality.
Jarvis will see you out. And the butler leads you to the door.
Lucy gives a final baleful glare at Jarvis when she leaves, takes her gum out, sticks it on the mirror by the door, and walks out.
Nick picks up the gum as they're walking out.
I get a feeling that may be something Nick is often doing.
as soon as we're out of sight, I will kind of just say, jackpot, man, thank you.
I will correct one thing in the notes. It's not just his dad who went to the farm to bring him home. It was dad and the butler.
Yeah, I missed that.
Yeah, it was dad butler, and the butler. Yeah.
I heard you say Rory, them, but I couldn't get the...
Okay.
Rory pulls out the statue as he's hopping in the cart and takes a look at it and then slips it into the glove box.
Actually, if that's the case, Jim, before we leave, I'm going to ask Jarvis on the way out. He could give us his account of the time he went with Father to go pick up Brian or check on him.
Mr. Weston, I'm not normally in the habit of talking out of school about the family that I work for. You might want to try to persuade him, perhaps?
This is, if you want, I can get Miss Timmons to tell you to give us the information. I mean, that's what we're investigating, but...
I was a little worried you were going to say, if you'd like, I could have Rory ask you.
that sentence will probably never come out of Oren's mouth.
Where do we meet the bad guy?
Well, yes. What was it you wanted to know, Mr. Weston?
Just recount for us what happened when you went there to check on Brian.
Yes. Mr. Timmons and I drove to Woonsocket. And we drove up to the house. Mr. Timmons asked me to wait in the car, so I did. And he walked up to the house. I saw him. He was about to knock on the door, but then didn't. He simply leaned up to the door, as if you were listening at it at the front door. And then a moment later, I hesitate to say ran, but moved very quickly back into the car, and we drove back to Providence. He never did tell me what he did not tell me what he heard at the door, but I can tell you that whatever it was left him rather shaken. He did not look well.
And how long after this did he pass away?
It was about a month later that I found his body.
And it's so he never was right after that night? He wasn't his normal self?
Something was definitely bothering him, yes.
Does it seem like he is giving us all the truth here, Jim?
I don't know, does it?
It's a fail on psychology for me.
Okay, let me roll. Hold on. That is a pass, Jim.
That statement about that I found his body, yeah, there's more to the story.
Okay, so...
Did he respond in any odd way when Lionel just said and then he killed himself?
Oh, I'm sorry, did someone say he killed himself? I didn't.
I did, yeah.
Okay. Mr. Timmons did not kill himself.
Yeah, he fell off the balcony, huh?
Yes, he fell.
So somebody pushed him or he jumped? What do you mean he fell? Come on.
I do not know what happened. I did not see it. As I said, I merely found his body below the balcony, but there was... I could have sworn I saw someone running into the woods.
Uh-huh.
Really?
But I didn't get a good look at them.
And did you ever tell Miss Timmons, Mrs. Timmons about this?
But you know where she was at the time.
Yes, oh, Miss Timmons was in the study. She was doing her knitting.
In the study with the knitting needle, yeah.
Very well. Well, thank you, Jarvis.
I wish you luck, Mr. Weston. Mrs. Timmons is a wonderful woman. And the family has been a delight to work for. And it is very sad what has happened to Brian.
It seems like she's suffered much recently, and hopefully we can bring her some closure to this matter.
I certainly hope so.
So, Nick, it sounds like murder.
Yeah,
that's your alley.
What do you guys think?
Well,
I
can ask.
Do you want to head out to the farm now and check it out?
Yeah, let's go to the farm. Let's go to the farm.
There's lots of places for Rory to run.
Or do we want to split up this early and make Jim's life hard so quick?
I mean,
I would not like to make decisions on that for that reason.
No.
I didn't take the day off yet. I got to put that in, and I wouldn't mind taking a look at the police report about his death before he got too far into it, too.
Yeah. Maybe do a little more research. That guy.
I mean, who owns the farm now? What's its history? I mean, there's stuff you want to do before you go up there, just so you go there smart.
Have you still got contacts there, Nick? In the force?
You know, by a strange coincidence, I do. I grew up in Providence. It's right on my character sheet. So, I'm sure I can talk to. Some of my high school buddies are still in the force. I'm sure I can talk to them.
And I might go by the library, do a little research on the family.
Yeah, let's...
Where are we going? What are we becoming? Library? Talking to pigs? I mean, we should just go straight to the farm.
Well, how about this, Rory? How about you go get us supplies to keep us prepared for whatever might happen? And I over-exaggerate the word whatever might happen.
Cool. What sort of supplies? You want shotguns?
I'll leave that up to you, Rory.
So there's the other question hanging here in the air that no one has really asked. How much are we going to charge for these?
Well, I say we talk about that after we see what happens at the farm.
Hmm. Looks like we're charging one onyx statuette just for starters.
Yeah, Rory. Stop doing that. You can ruin it for us.
Can I have a look at that, Rory?
Did you steal from her?
That looks pretty. Let me see.
Hey, no, it's mine. Excuse me?
You put it in the glove box.
If Lucy can get her hands on it, she's going to smash it. Because it's punk, Rory. It's punk.
Oh, dear. Right.
Children fighting in the van.
So... breakfast tomorrow, compare notes on what we found, and head on out to the farm?
Sure.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Okay, so splitting up for the rest of the day. I love it.
The library, and anyone that wants to come with me is more than welcome. Except Rory.
So, Miss McEwen, how are you spending the day? Rest of
I will wait and see what the others do and then decide which group to attach to, because I have no idea.
Fair enough. Mr. Dyer?
I think I'm going to swing by the... where did he die again? Was it in town?
It was at the home. It was at the home. The home you just
left. Yeah, so I'm gonna definitely swing by the police department and chat up some of my guys. Walk in with a couple of cups of steaming Joe and see if I can get a look at that police report.
Miss Peterson,
I have an idea, but I'm not sure how to go about it. I'd like to go back to the sanitarium. And either have a look at, see if I can, if I bring Rory, then I'll try to get him to make a distraction and go in and see if I can get the files for Brian. If I don't, then I'll try just to say I'm there on the authority of his mother or something and try to talk to his doctor. I don't know.
Okay. Mr. MacArthur?
Well, when Lucy mentions going back to make a distraction, Rory's in. He'll be in for that.
Okay, fair enough.
He'll definitely be interested in making a distraction.
Mr. Wheeler?
Well, I have a strong interest in doing this because of the money. So I'll follow up with our friend here, with Orim, and go to the library with him, even though I'm not going to be of much help. I'll go with him.
Mr. Weston, I believe you're to the library, you said?
Yes.
Mr. Cockrell?
I'm kind of excited to have some time out of the city in the country, so I'm going to make sure I have a nice fireworks display ready to test out tomorrow.
Oh. Nice.
Okay. And
a significant portion of farmland north of Providence was burned down this weekend.
Uh-huh. And Miss McEwen.
I will go with the break and enter in, sanitarium.
Asylum.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So let's start with Mr. Dyer. You are headed to the police. The Providence police, I presume you mean?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay. Yes.
The PPD.
Yep.
Yep. I'm going to walk in. I assume actually on my significant peoples is my partner. So I think I would start with my former partner who still works with the force. I think I would swing by and see if I could work with him to get access to the files.
Okay. Make a credit rating.
Ooh.
Or persuade. I would take either of those.
How about charm?
Sure. Charm is good.
Charm is a regular success.
Okay. Bringing coffee and probably some donuts and working your contacts, you can eventually get the official look at the official death report. It states that the father, Mr. Timmons' death was an accidental death caused by a fall from a second-story porch at the family home.
Okay. It's got the officer in charge or the detective involved, right?
It does. The death report also says that Mr. Timmons died instantly. And there is a sworn statement from Jarvis stating that he was the first to reach the body and that he was unresponsive when he found him.
Okay. I will see if I can find the officer who was involved at the time. We've got hired by these people. Was there anything odd? Anything set off your cop alert meter?
In short, no.
Okay.
He kind of gives you the same, the same verbiage that the official report did. Accidental, fell from the porch. Jarvis was the first one to fight him, died instantly. Nothing to suspect any sort of foul play or even suicide or anything like that.
That's perfect. And I will head out.
Okay.
Get back to my job.
Let's go to the library with Mr. Wheeler and Mr. Weston.
Yes, sir. I'm just following his lead, actually.
Yeah, I'm just going to be looking for history on the family, any information or history on the farm and around there. But mostly on the family.
Okay, library use.
Ooh, 22 is a hard success.
93, very in character. just one, Jim?
Yeah, just one. Mr. Wheeler, you find a picture book on the history of punk rock. Mr. Weston, you do find in the Providence newspaper, you are able to find an obituary for Mr. Timmons talking about how he comes from an old family and was a very successful businessman and they, survived by his wife and son, accidental death. There is also, in addition to the obituary, there is a small article in the paper basically saying the same thing. He fell from the balcony at the Timmons family home. The police don't suspect any foul play. Everyone's very sad.
Okay, and anything more on the Timmons family, like I was looking for?
Like the history or ancestor?
Nope.
Okay. That was useless. Is it for lack of information of that sort at the library, or is that because there's just no information on their family?
It's kind of because both of those things.
Okay.
You do, since you got a pretty good success on your library use, I will, you know, as you're kind of, you know, digging through some of the archives, you know, the library, you know, certainly would have archives on some of the older families. You know, but you also kind of, you know, kind of realize that, well, if the family is not actually from Providence, if they're from Woonsocket, you know, then any, you know, kind of older family information would probably be there rather than here in Providence.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, I'll go collect Lionel. I'll stop him from reading the fashion mags.
Sorry, Yori. Nothing. I didn't find anything. Still holding really? The punk book.
Not okay. Surprising.
Don't be like that.
I didn't find much either, though. So
let's cut to Mr. Cockrell.
Yeah. Am I muted? No, I'm good.
Okay. Nope. What are you up to?
So, yeah, I think I go back to my apartment and start putting together a, you know, just a 5 or 7 minute display, thinking about the music that's going to go with it and, you know, probably have to build some appropriately timed fuses and all that sort of thing for the, for tomorrow's, hopefully we'll still be at the farm tomorrow evening.
Okay.
For the display.
Fair enough. Do you have a fireworks craft roll?
I took pyrotechnics, yeah.
That'll work. Give us a roll.
Ooh, right on. 40 out of 40.
Very nice. Very good. Okay. Let's cut over to Miss Peterson, Mr. MacArthur, and Miss McEwen.
The real fireworks.
Now, I know it's not what we usually do, but do you think we should talk about this for a moment before we start going in there?
I was just going to ask, what's your plan, Lucy?
Yes. So,
you go in there, I'll make a distraction.
Adults are talking.
So I thought maybe, you know, Gordon's always good in a pinch, but may not be necessary in this case. We go in, we drop Ma's name. You know, she should have a lot of sway around here once they know who she is. They know where the money comes from. So we go in there and say we're acting for her and want to speak with her doctor. Get into his office. We try to get him to give us information or get the file from him, from Ma, and maybe Rory. Maybe you give us 30 minutes and then you start your distraction, because by then we'll either have the information or maybe the doctor will be called out and we can do something then. What do you think?
Okay, so I'll come into the front room and you guys go in and then I'll wait, give you 30 minutes and then I'll make my distraction.
Sounds good. Do we know what his doctor's name is? Because it would be best if you got his doctor involved somehow. Like if we're in his office, if his doctor...
I think we did meet the doctor the first time around, didn't we?
Did we? Or do we just get led to see him?
Yeah, you did not meet the doctor.
But were we aware of what his name was?
I don't believe anyone ever asked.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, that's not really that important, Rory. I have full confidence in your abilities to draw
everything in the
building.
call the mom back if you're wanting information.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, you could even have her call the sanatorium, I suppose.
That's a good idea.
Just have her. I don't want to talk to that old woman. She's holding back from us right now already. If she calls without us being there, she's liable to tell them, by the way, don't tell them blah, blah, such and such. I think we do it on our own, but we use
we'll hold that in reserve.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll do it ourselves.
Yeah. Okay, so let's
now, Rory, you see the big hand?
Okay. You see my forehead?
Okay. So
okay, we go in.
Off we go.
Okay.
Are you coming inside with us then, or are you going to stay outside?
No, you're staying out, Rory. Then you're going to cause a scene.
No, I said I'll come into the entryway first, and then you guys go to see the doctor, and then I'll
give you right. So you'll give us 30 minutes from when we get somewhere, if we get somewhere. Okay.
Okay. All right. Come along, Kimberly. Rory, good luck. Just don't get arrested again.
Ah, what's another arrest?
Okay, so you re-enter the sanitarium?
We do. I assume there's some type of reception area.
You assume maybe. Correctly. Yep.
Excellent. We'd like to go over. Say hello again. You remember us from before? We were in here earlier to see Brian Timmons.
Oh, yes, of course. Just a moment. His doctor, Dr. Levesque, wanted to speak with you.
Oh. Dr. Levesque.
Excellent. Do you have a moment?
Yes. Thank you very much. To see Dr. Levesque, I say a little bit loudly.
Please have a seat. He'll be right out.
Certainly.
And a few minutes later, sure enough, an older gentleman, graying hair, spectacles, comes out and says, wonderful. You're the friends of Brian's who were here earlier.
Yes, that's right. We've been sent by his mother, Mrs. Timmons.
Wonderful. I'm sorry I can't let you back to see Brian again. He's still in something of a state.
Yes, well, could you explain that to us? Perhaps we could go to your office, something private, so we're not out here.
Oh, this is fine. There's no one here. The HIPAA hasn't been passed yet. It's fine. We can talk in public. He's becoming more violent every day. Do you know if his mother has agreed to have him moved yet?
Moved where?
Someplace he can be better cared for. Someplace that would be a better fit for someone as violent as he is.
Lucy stiffens a bit at this when she hears this type of talk about putting him in. She knows that means prison. She says,
so you're not capable of providing care for him here?
Just a moment. Perhaps, I don't think, it's been a while since we've seen Brian and that we've spoken with his mother. Could you describe his case to us specifically? The circumstances where he was brought here and what your diagnosis is, doctor?
Well, the,
that's an awful lot of big words for Lucy. A bit of a strain. Yeah.
Kimberly is just kind of like wide-eyed and staring slightly mouth open at Lucy this moment of time.
I don't really have a comprehensive diagnosis. Paranoid schizophrenia answers much of it. He's at times he can certainly be charming and cooperative, but and he'll fly into a rage, and I understand he even bit one of you when you were here.
Oh, no, no, no. Not of consequence. Don't worry.
Yes, well, I understand he attacked the police, and he was very violent. They had to subdue him, and his mother asked that he be sent here to try to relax and clear his mind, but he just becomes more and more violent. His schizophrenia is getting worse.
Well, what are the details of his case? I mean, what has he told you, doctor? I mean, certainly he, even paranoid schizophrenics have, did I say that right? Even they have stories that they, you know, adhere to. What has he been saying?
He's been saying not much of anything. He's been saying he's perfectly sane and he just needs to be out of the hospital and back to his family farm. And the next moment, the orderlies have to subdue him because he's flown into another rage and is trying to bash me or the nurse or one of the attendants, or even has even attacked the other patients at times.
Okay, I think at this point I need to do a psychology roll because I'm not sure what other questions to ask him to get him to talk. I want to see if he's lying to me. An 87's not going to do it. I don't trust him anyway. He's full of authority. He's clearly holding something back.
Can I try a psychology roll?
It would go right ahead.
Be unlikely. Oh, I could spend 4 points of luck to make that a success. If we're doing the luck spend.
Of course.
Okay.
Well done.
So yes, there is. I mean, the doctor is definitely not telling you everything. But what's actually kind of most surprising, I guess, especially kind of given, you know, your predilection to, or what I would presume your predilection is to authority in general, probably doctors generally. As much as the doctor is trying to maintain, you know, this air of authority and this clinical detachment, you get the feeling that the doctor is actually frightened of Timmons.
Okay.
I'll let you act on it since you made it.
If I attempt, so I'm going to attempt to sort of charm him and is there anything you're not telling us? Anything that, you know, if we can investigate this, we might be able to come up with something that could help him, help his treatment, and even, you know, have him released from your care.
Charm.
Okie dokie. Ooh, that is a hard success.
Go get him, Kimberly.
I don't think Brian is in a fit state to be released anywhere. I'm quite sure he's hopelessly insane, but he needs to be somewhere else. Many of our attendants have been threatening to quit rather than deal with Brian. He gives everyone, and he kind of shudders for a moment, myself included, I wish I could explain it, but there's just a strange feeling about Brian. There's something wrong there, and I don't know what it is, and I can't explain it.
I believe he's just pushed a few of the buttons that Lucy has as she stands up. Hopelessly insane, is it? Is that your clinical diagnosis, doctor? Calling your patients hopelessly insane? Perhaps it's your abilities as a doctor, your inability to help him, that's the problem here.
And the doctor kind of cowers for a moment. I think you folks need to leave now.
And have we hit 30 minutes?
Sure.
Or at this stage, Rory leaps up and goes, "Brian, I'm coming for you."
Is Rory even going to wait 30 minutes?
And 15, charges maybe? Charges one of the orderlies to get keys.
Maybe this is a good time to leave, and we'll.
Okay.
Wow. You know, has anyone told you you're really pretty when you get angry?
Mr. MacArthur, fighting brawl.
I roll a 49, which is what my fighting brawl should be, just a normal success. Normal success.
Okay. Are you like punching, or are you just trying to grab for the keys?
I'm basically grappling and grabbing for the keys.
Okay. He will grapple you back to a stalemate. Let's see. Miss McEwen, what are you up to as Mr. MacArthur engages in some fisticuffs with the orderly?
I'll be leaving.
And Ms. Peterson?
Yes, I think that's done. Rory, leave him alone. Let's go. We'll use the Timmons name to get us out of this. No real trouble. No real trouble yet.
Okay. The orderly punches you, Mr. MacArthur.
Can I fight back?
You may dodge or fight back as you wish.
He's going to fight back. 06, which is an extreme
roll
success.
Some damage.
What's the damage? I thought this character was going to go indefinitely insane, but getting arrested. And,
is 3 points of damage with the headbutt.
Okay, fair enough. The attendant cries out. You can hear footsteps. Mr. MacArthur, you may have a go.
Okay, he's now dodging and rushing out the door since he's heard Lucy saying about going.
Okay. For the sake of some continuity, we will just say you were able to rush out the door with the ladies, hop into the car, and burn out of there.
Get couldn't, bit,
couldn't you
doctor!
See? We didn't need the distraction.
Well, you didn't say that. He had it coming.
Poor orderly didn't.
Could have got Brian out of there. Doesn't deserve to be stuck in a place like that.
I'll just lean back in the car seat, put on a cassette, and
lots of strong emotion.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Who's driving us?
Apparently you are.
No, I'm driving. It's my car. My van, sorry.
Okay. Nice. Okay. Anything else for the day? I believe the plan was to reconvene in the morning. Was that your...
Yeah, Rory's going to also pick up like some jimmies and some rope and some stuff for breaking into basically houses or farms.
Okay. Anything else in particular anyone wants to do today, or are we just reconvening in the morning to head to Woonsocket?
I think that's the plan.
Yeah. I'll just talk to my boss and give him a couple of addresses where I've, you know, noticed a couple of fancy cars. And I will tell him that I will be busy the next couple of weeks. Meaning I won't be stealing those cars myself.
Okay. Fair enough. So I think that's a good place to leave it for the day. We will pick up next time on Sunday morning as you head out for a drive in the country.
Yeah.
Nice.
Sounds great.
This is a fun start. I like
Thanks,
this.
Jim.
Ragtag group.
Yeah.
Do I sense just the hint of exasperation in your voice there, Jim, at this characters? Or?
Not in the slightest. I love it.
Okay.
Can't wait for the replacement characters.
I'm actually going to miss Rory when he goes either insane or dead.
It's nice somebody will.
Can I ask a quick question, too, just around the table? How old are we all? There was some talk on Slack about maybe, you know, kids kind of 20-ish, which is what I want.
21.
Yes.
I'm 19.
27.
I'm 25.
27. Okay, is the old one. How old are you, Rory?
25.
Gotcha. Okay. Just curious.
You're the old man, Rory.
Yeah.
No. Someone said 27.
Yeah, Sean did. His.
I did. Yeah, Nick.
Nick.
Nice. Right.
Well, so. Cool. Okay. You guys have a good week.
Thanks.
You guys.
Okay, are we on?
We should be. Tomorrow? I think we're on tomorrow. Yeah. So, I think Matt's
Invictus,
back.
Right? Still? Yep.
Yeah.
It's after the holidays, so.
Okay. We can begin to find out. Yep. All right, guys. Maybe I can join you tomorrow.
All right.
Awesome.
Take her easy.
Take care.
See you later.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye.
See you.
Bye.